Yeah.
For sure. We need more people like you just spreading the word about these artists.
I appreciate
you know,
that, man. For
yes,
real.
Indeed.
We need more people like y'all rocking on the radio and letting everybody know, especially shout out to the people listening in New Zealand. That blew me away. I was like, that's what's up.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Listen, this is my first time checking out the show. I'm glad to see somebody talking about hip-hop in this format. I'm used to hearing sports talk radio, so this is a dream come true right here.
Also, real quickly, I would add that this is the first talk show that's, you know, that prescribes to our condition. I mean, I listen to talk radio all the time. First time I've ever heard an eloquent talk show host like you and your co-host who actually has the skill of dictation.
Many faces.
You sick for this one. This one.
I'm on my New York. Got the world following the New York script. Hustle with Timbs and hoodies on my New York flip. Rubber band sack money with my New York click. Yeah, I'm on my New York. I rep the Giants, Jets, New York Knicks. Della made clothing with my New York stitch. My chick banging, don't you see my New York? Yeah, I'm on my New York.
Yes, 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 yes. Peace and love, peace and love. What's good, everybody? Welcome to the New York Hip Hop Report with Manny Faces. Every Sunday night, just about every Sunday night, give or take a few here and there, sprinkled absences. But normally we're here 10 p.m. to 11:30. Again, give or take a few minutes. Kicking it to you about the going-ons and happenings in New York area hip-hop music and culture. Very important that we don't leave out the non-musical aspects of hip-hop. And we talk about that here on this show. I think we're up to 118 episodes. I always get the count wrong. But we've been doing this for, I guess, well over 2 years now. So you've been following us every week. We appreciate you if you're listening live. We really appreciate you. This is talk radio, sports talk radio style. So you won't hear any music played on this show. You know, a little bit here and there. But I like how I'm saying like every rule about the show and then I'm immediately breaking the rule right afterwards. But in general, you won't hear any music on the show. We don't talk with a music bed underneath. We just kick it to you, you know, words, like just like sports talk radio, just hip-hoppier. You know what I mean? So we welcome you if you're listening for the first time. Always get that first-time listeners. I'm an idiot because I didn't start the chat room. We have a chat room right here on the, on the page there. If you don't see it, refresh real quick. I'll be doing a little housekeeping right here in the beginning, so it'll give you a chance to check out the chat room, which I didn't start right away, so it should be there. But again, we're here every Sunday night, 10 p.m. to 11:30. All of our shows, our past shows, are archived on nyhiphopreport.com. And, of course, we're a free podcast as well. You can get us subscribing to us via a podcast app of your choice. And, of course, you can subscribe to us for free on iTunes. So that's what's up. My name is Manny Faces. I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of Birthplace Magazine, birthplacemag.com. And we have that site up and running for several years as well. Most importantly, of course, we'll cover New York area hip-hop. You know, whoever's dropping something new, we'll put up some obscure stuff that maybe you're not hearing about from your friendly neighborhood mainstream radio, because there's a lot of stuff out here, obviously, you're missing if that's all you pay attention to. And we also bring you a lot of great events that are happening in the New York City area, including New Jersey, Connecticut, and Strong Island, Long Island, where I'm from. And that's over at the birthplacemag.com event calendar. So we want you to definitely check that out. There's a lot of great concerts on there, of course, major concerts, people from New York, but also rolling in through town. But a lot of indie shows on there, a lot of open mics and monthly showcases and things like that, where you can discover and support some indie talent in New York. I got a couple of new ones that we're going to be throwing up on there. I had to get my head right, man. There's a lot of stuff going on right in my neck of the woods. Like I said, Long Island is very dear to me, and we spend a lot of time in the city covering all the good things going on. But you know, as we talked to a few of our friends a couple weeks ago from the Inner Circle and Old Westbury Radio, and there's a few people doing a few things, and I like the burgeoning, well, not burgeoning, but I like the way that the Long Island scene is popping off these days, and I wanted to get in touch with some people that would shed some light on that. So later this show, we're going to be talking to an old friend of mine in the music biz, in the music circles on Long Island. His name is DC3, and he runs the Central Station stores out in the Freeport, Baldwin areas over the years, and of course has been involved in music. He's put together and is continuing to put out the I Am Strong Island concert series, and that's a weekly showcase event that happens in a couple of locations in Long Island, Hempstead, and over there in Baldwin. So, you know, I'm going to be myself appearing on Strong Island Hip Hop Radio this Wednesday night. So as all these things are circulating and bubbling, it would behoove me to make sure that everyone who listens to this show knows that Long Island's got some things going on and should never count out. Of course, last week you heard we had Granddaddy IU, an OG veteran from Strong Island. So maybe I'm in a little Long Island state of mind these days. So we'll kick it with DC a little bit later on and find out what's going on with this the I Am Strong Island concert series. And yeah, man, so it's going to be some good stuff like that you'll find on the Birthplace Magazine event calendar. And we'll talk about some other things, some recent posts, and all that stuff. So if you're from the area, from Long Island, you know about some of the scene that's going on, give us a call. Feel free to kick it with us. Shoot us your 2 cents. This is, like I said, Sports Talk Radio style, 646-378-1282. And, of course, we'll talk about a couple of other things. I want to know what you guys thought about Kendrick Lamar's album. That was the big hip-hop news in general. And even though we're New York-centric, obviously, you know, as big a release as Kendrick Lamar had, everyone in New York's talking about it. And so, again, if you want to give us your 2 cents, we'd love to hear what people from our neck of the woods think about the project. And I'll get a little smart-ass about people who blog about it because, you know, sometimes I got to criticize the media landscape, as you might know me to do a little bit. So we'll talk about that. And, yeah, man, we'll talk about a couple other things. Russell Simmons supposed to be bringing some kind of hip-hop musical to Broadway. We're going to talk about that real quick. And whatever else y'all want to talk about. Once again, 646-378-1282. A little later on the show, we'll talk to DC3, Central Station, and the I Am Strong Island Concert Series. And, you know, that's what it is. I want to welcome to the show, of course, as he is almost every week along with me. He's the other guy you hear on this show all the time, and he's up in the Bronx where the people are fresh. His name is Steve Ortiz. What up, Steve?
Hey, what's going on, Manny? What's going on, everyone? It's great to be back this week. Again, as always, just thankful. You know, we have this opportunity here to, you know, spread the word.
Yeah, man.
You know, when we see you everywhere, I mean, I was watching Video Music Box over the weekend, and lo and behold, Ralph McDaniels calls Manny Faces over, and I see Manny, you know, just chilling.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Shouts to Uncle Ralph McDaniels, you know, a legendary scene, you know, member of the New York area hip-hop scene, a pioneer in hip-hop and television. And, yeah, we were at the Writer's Block. It's they do a monthly showcase, and they were having a special event for Mike Hands. A brother named Mike Hands. We've played his music we've had his music up on birthplacemag.com, and he was having a birthday event, I guess, a couple months ago now. You might have caught a repeat, and I was up in there checking out, supporting
them.
This is
a new episode, though. This is like, it was footage from when?
I don't know, maybe about a month ago. Yeah, I don't know how long it takes for him to get, you know, to turn it around, you know what I mean? So
yeah, I watch episodes, you know, every week, and this was a brand new episode. It might have been a repeat, but if the first episode would have been definitely aired this month.
That's what's up. Well, yeah, thanks. Shouts to Ralph McDaniels. He always shows love. Ralph McDaniels has been on this show twice now. We had him on a couple years ago, and then we had him on just a few weeks ago. So, again, you know, we talked to a lot of, you know, the new cats that are doing things today, and some of the cats that have been doing it for a long, long time. We've got to respect our elders and the folks that came, you know, before us. So, once again, shouts to Ralph McDaniels and the whole Kev Lawrence and the whole Video Music Box crew. You can still catch the Video Music Box, like three times a week, right? I think they're on, like, all different times.
There's one new episode a week, and then it airs, like, multiple times during the week. But it varies, you know, depending on the cable system.
That's
what's up. Here I see it, I think, on 525.
Okay. Yeah, well, shout out to Ralph McDaniels. Follow him. I know he's on Instagram and Twitter at Video Music Box. So, you know, support the legend and make sure we're still. Listen, he shows a lot of love to a lot of upcoming artists, indie artists.
Yeah, he sure does.
Legends who are, you know, coming back and doing good music still to this day. So, you know, just like y'all come to us sometimes to find out, you know, what you might be missing. There's a lot going on in New York hip hop. Everyone's doing something, and sometimes we talk about there's too many people doing something. You know, sometimes people need to fall back and, you know, let the big boys play. You know, not that we're the big boys, but you know what I mean. Like,
yeah.
We want to try to see people who really have movements and really have something different to offer. Whereas there's a lot of hobby rappers and a lot of hobby producers and a lot of hobby DJs and a lot of hobby journalists, you know. So when you get someone like us or you get someone like Ralph McDaniels who are still out there trying to showcase, you know, people who are really doing – Ralph McDaniels isn't just going to show up to any event, you know what I mean? He could be anywhere. He could walk into any event anywhere, really, in the country, any hip-hop event, and he could just walk in and film. He's not going to be at every everything he can be. So he's not going to be at something that isn't worthwhile. So, you know, if you really are interested, you know, we talk to fans on this show. We talk to artists on this show. If you're really a fan of the game and really want to try to discover other types of New York hip-hop, people doing hip-hop in our way, man, Video Music Box still to this day, you know, can supply you that in a way that few others can. So, yeah. Little
commercials, man. That's great.
Yeah, well, we just gave him a commercial, so there you go. So, shouts to Uncle Ralph, man. A lot of people coming back from South by Southwest. You know, South by Southwest Music Conference has been going on for the past bunch of days. A lot of you know, indie artists from the New York area made a lot of noise down there. We've been kind of paying attention from afar. You know, we saw some of the real bubbling, buzzy names from New York were down there. The Action Bronsons and Joey Badass, and you know, there was definitely some of the journeymen, the Mayhem Lorenz were down there. We know that a couple members of Wu were down there. Raekwon was down there. Homeboy Sandman was down there. YC the Cynic was down there. Just a lot of people that, you know, involved in New York area hip-hop down there in South by Southwest. I haven't gone in a couple of years. But it's a huge festival, man. It's a huge to-do down there in Austin, Texas, man.
It's gotten a little more commercialized over the years.
I think so. You know, I think so.
You know, with major labels, you know, able to just throw, you know, together a more, you know, a better type of show and, you know, get more artists.
Yeah, I think, you know, like Kanye appeared a couple years ago and people started saying, you know, now that rap, you know, South by Southwest didn't really open their doors to a lot of hip-hop. And then they started to, and for a couple of years, I think it was real, you were right in the golden area right there, you know, where it was great to be down there. You could really, you know, showcases were great, and you could network, and, you know, you could see some people. I went down there in, what, 2011, I guess, maybe, 2012. You know, I saw, like, Machine Gun Kelly when he wasn't, you know, anybody yet, you know what I mean? Not that he, you know, turned out to be so much of anybody anyway, but for a minute there, he was, you know what I mean? So you saw some people as they were coming up. You know, I saw a lot of cats, you know, for the first time that were actually I knew from New York, Sky Zoo. First time I saw Sky Zoo perform was down there. So, but then, yeah, you know, you got the Kanye West, and I think Jay made an appearance. Nas was making appearances. You know, it maybe gotten to the point where it's becoming a little commercialized. But I think there's still a lot of value down there for indie artists. You know, make your trip down there if you're an independent artist. You should get down to South by Southwest, do it once at least, see what it's about. I found there's a lot of great networking to be done. A3C is another big hip-hop festival that's coming up for fans and for artists. I guess October in Atlanta. They've been doing it now for about 7 or 8 years. These aren't like Rock the Bells, you know, where it's like just to go see a big concert. These are actually good for artists, good for fans who like indie hip-hop or up-and-coming hip-hop or, you know, artists from different parts of the country they want to see live and, you know, see who's buzzing, see who's making noise. It's a lot of fun. Plus, you get to go to Atlanta, and there's a lot to do in Atlanta. So, you know.
There used to be a Jack the Rapper convention. That was like,
yeah.
I remember something like that in the 90s. I don't know how long that lasted, but that was more convention versus performances, or do you remember that having performances as well?
No, that was a very, like, from what I know, and I was only cursory, yeah, you know, level familiar with it, but it was very much like labels would get together, artists would, you know, we showcase, but through labels, and it was big industry, DJs, industry, you know, parties, industry things going on. And there would be, of course, performances, but, you know, it'd be really kind of a big big industry get-togethers and things like that. There really hasn't been too many of those. That kind of thing started fading out. We see a bunch of them happen. The Winter Music Convention is happening. I know that Revolt TV did something. We talked about, you know, like, I don't know, 6 months ago. They did something that we kind of panned it because, like, Revolt TV was like, yeah, come, like, literally, like, $1,200 or something like that for artists to come sit on these panels, you know, witness these panels, and people on the panels were people like, I don't know, it was, I can't remember exactly, but it would be like someone down with Def Jam or someone down with, you know, Island Records, you know, Interscope Records. And for the most part, the record business was falling apart. So I couldn't understand why a new artist would want to come spend $1,200 to listen to people that are running an industry that's kind of falling apart, that the artists are creating the change. You know what I mean? It didn't make sense to me. I didn't know how much you could learn from, you know, and then it was like, oh, big pool party in Miami. So I'm like, all right, I just think this is milking off of, you know, milking a bit the artists that are trying to come up, you know. But, hey, you know, that was just my opinion. I didn't hear anything really come out of that conference, though. So maybe it is not, you know, we was on to something. Like, I didn't hear anybody, you don't hear anything about these things afterwards. So I question how valuable they are to artists. I think you could do a lot of networking in New York City and not have to go down. I mean, maybe, listen, if you live in the middle of the country and you don't have a New York City nearby, maybe that's what you got to do. Maybe you got to go to these places. So, you know, anyway, speaking of real quick, and again, once again, call us up if you have anything to talk about. Kick it with us, New York Area Hip Hop, 646-378-1282. Later on in the show, we kick it with DC3 from Central Station out in Baldwin, and he's running the I Am Strong Island concert series. I talked to him about what's going on, you know, in Long Island Hip Hop in general, what's happening with his concert series these days, and he gave some really interesting thoughts about, because, you know, we talk about New York Hip Hop being, you know, really still very strong and progressive on this show a lot. And there'll be people out there that will say, you know, New York hip-hop really isn't doing much, and they'll talk about how a lot of artists try to sound like they're from somewhere else, and there's no New York hip-hop on the radio. And these things are true, but they're not exclusive facts. There's plenty of artists that we talk about here every week for 118 episodes who don't sound like they're from some other part of the country. They don't try to subscribe to that style of making music. There's a lot of hip-hop that isn't radio but is very talented. There's a lot of great events that we talk about all the time. And so we kind of shoot down those theories that, you know, hip-hop in New York City isn't doing anything worthwhile. But, you know, talking to D.C., you'll hear his talk and you'll hear a couple points he brought up. He brought up a couple of really good points about why New York still, despite all that, I think, you know, still doesn't really get the notoriety that it once had. Now, we've often said that no city will ever run hip-hop again, and I believe that. But New York still isn't really well represented on the national scene. And he gave some interesting insight as to, you know, why he thinks, what he thinks New York hip-hop still needs to do. And I respected his viewpoints. Check out my talk with DC in a little bit. We'll play that just a little later on in the show. Kendrick Lamar dropped this week, man. And broke the hip hop internet. Yeah, you know what I mean?
It was like a bomb had dropped.
You know, and a little bit early release, a little bit surprised. I think it even surprised, it seemed like it even surprised them. It surprised the TDE camp. But for what it's worth, you know, it made a whole hell of a lot of noise. It was highly anticipated. And of course, Kendrick Lamar being an artist from California wouldn't be something that we would normally be talking about, but I think you can't ignore the seismic waves that were caused by the earthquake that was Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly. I don't know if you've got to hear it yet, Steve.
I listened to it once.
Yeah.
I like the content. I like the music. Do I like the first album? Not his first album, his last album, Good Kid, Mad City.
Right.
I like that album better, but I still need to let this album, you know, play a few more times. On the first listen, it's okay.
Right.
For, you know, everyone to be getting excited to the extent of, oh, my God, this is the first great album to come out, you know, since his last album.
Right.
That's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree. Now, listen, at the time I had heard it, like you said, just one time real quick. Cursory listen, background, like one headphone in my ear while I was working, and it was a good sounding album. I heard some things I liked. It definitely made me want to listen to it again, and I then did listen to it in full. But in between those two times, I noticed the surge of praise on the internet, and particularly by bloggers and opinion writers that mask themselves as journalists. And I do want to encourage people who are regular listeners of this show. You know how I go in on this media landscape, because I love people that are trying to do hip-hop media, but, you know, I also will call you out if you're not really doing it properly and you're just cluttering it up the landscape for the rest of us. And I found a lot of that with the praise for To Pimp a Butterfly. I think a lot of the now after hearing it, I think a lot of that praise is valid because I think it's a really remarkable album. But I think that a lot of these writers, and I specifically point out to the non-hip-hop writers, because here we go again with Spin Magazine or Deadspin or, you know, the Wall Street Journal. Well, I don't say the Wall, like Forbes, you know, these weird outlets that either write a Pitchfork, they write about hip-hop sometimes, but they don't really, they aren't really hip-hop. They're not really of the culture, of the background. So you'll see them write about Future, and you'll see them write about Migos or some other of these, you know, large, buzzy, mainstream artists, and every now and then they'll go in and try to wax poetic about some, you know, Childish Gambino or Chance the Rapper, some of these, you know, off, a little bit out of left field type rappers, and boy, they must have, you know, loved when Kendrick Lamar dropped his album, because here's a chance for them to really do it and really seem like they're on top. The hyperbole, the overabundance of, like, messiah-like praise for Kendrick Lamar. It's fine if you really think that, but I think a lot of people who write like this really haven't heard that many rap albums. Like, if you heard some great rap albums over the past 20 years, you'll recognize that I think Kendrick Lamar's album was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not necessarily the greatest, not the only great one, not the greatest thing in the past 10 years, not the greatest thing since sliced bread, but you get a lot of these outlets and these blog platforms and even the big sites with reviews, and I've often said, listen, the album review is useless these days. All this is somebody spending 800 words on putting up their opinion, which isn't necessary anymore. People are able to make up their own minds, and whatever happened to just hearing an album and enjoying it without having 50 different long-form, long-winded articles telling you how to think?
And the thing is, the album just came out. So usually, you know, an album would have already had preview copies available and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
The album just came out, and it was like full-length reviews. And I mean, are you kidding me? Like, but like you said, hundreds of sources all jumping on the album, all giving, you know, praise, five stars, blah, 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 blah. You haven't even listened to the album properly.
Right. Now, someone pointed out to me, said, listen, you know, the new payola is, you know, part of the marketing. You know, they're paying some of the big sites to make sure that they review the album, which maybe in some cases, and maybe some of the big sites will review it anyway. And then you have the trickle-down effect of everybody else feeling like they need to write about it. The best pieces I saw about Kendrick, because first of all, I don't care who you are, your opinion is useless to me. I can make my own opinion. I can listen to it on Spotify at the same time as you, and why am I reading an article telling me what your analysis is? I'm going to listen to it and make my own analysis. And I think that all these articles take away from that. They don't let people feel like they can go into an album these days and just listen to it. I think the great thing about what I felt when I heard that album, I had talked to a couple of people about it because I think that should be done. I'm not saying we shouldn't talk about it. I'm not saying people shouldn't discuss it. I'm saying there shouldn't be, like you said, 100 different sources forming these weird opinions at the same time as us, because I found that it was really great for me to listen to it, some people talking about it, hearing some word of mouth, yo, this album's great, oh my God, this album's really good, I really loved it, but not really like going into in-depth what somebody on Pitchfork thought Kendrick Lamar was trying to say on track 7 with his metaphors about, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't need that to go in and that's what I really enjoyed, because I was discovering it for like completely like a virgin, you know what I mean? Like, nobody
exactly
told me what to think, and I don't know if I got it all on the first listen. I'm not sure if I understood who he was talking about in some of his songs. He, you know, because he's not a direct dude, but that's what's great about his music. So now I could go back and listen to it again and try to parse what I might have missed the first time. And then now I'm a fan of the album. Like, isn't that how it's supposed to be?
Exactly.
So all these
that's
guys
the way it should be.
They're just ruining it, man. They're ruining the experience for people. So people don't know how to listen to music anymore. They don't know how to listen to an album anymore.
Yeah, listen to it for a week, and then everyone, you know, go on to the next.
You know, not even that. Like, they even if that, you know. And it
exactly
made me really, you know, for a big album release like that, I might have been a sucker and read some reviews or something ahead of time before seeing it myself. I understand why they do it for movies, because most people can't just log in and see a movie on their own. So you got, and movies are expensive now. So I'm going to read a couple of reviews on a movie to see whether I should spend my money by going to the movie theater. It makes sense. It's what the album review used to be. But there's no need for an album review now. And on top of that, they usually give it to interns, or, you know, maybe for a big album like this they won't. But generally they give it to the interns. Like, write an album review. Who the hell is this person who has no understanding of the depth of the background of the music, all different sides of it? You get this one opinion. Like, someone will come out with a trap music kind of sounding album, and if that writer doesn't like trap music, it's the worst album ever. Or yeah, vice versa. Someone who's all into, you know, into the trap music, you come out with an album that's, you know, not really that style, it's the worst album ever. What good is that? Because if you're not writing objectively, then you're wasting our time. Like, you're really wasting time, and you're, like I said, cluttering up the internet with more opinions. Like, you know,
that many more pages, you know, of clutter, just, you know, like you said, it clutters up the internet.
Yeah,
it clutters up the searches.
You're not writing, you know, about somebody who's doing something incredible. And here's a couple of things. I saw a couple of really good articles about To Pimp a Butterfly that took a different angle. They said, listen, here's the seven musicians that were featured on To Pimp a Butterfly, Bilal and, you know, Rhapsody, right, and, you know what I mean? And, you know, a couple people that, you know, who people probably say, who's this female on this track, you know, spitting, you know, on a Complexion? She did her thing, but it's Rhapsody. We know Rhapsody. She's from, what, North Carolina. She's an MC. She's been around for a long time, has a great mixtape project out, you know, been featured on a few, you know, semi-major things. She's making a buzz. She's already been out there, but they presented that in the form of an article. That's great. That's what we need. That's what people need, because a review to tell me how I should feel about an album that is really made for people to feel a certain way themselves is a waste of time. And to be honest, I don't need these hipster hip-hop media heads to tell us about the greatness of this album, or the hip-hopness of this album, or the jazzness of this album, or the blackness of this album.
I like that. Hipster hip-hop heads.
Hip-hop heads, man. So, listen, I wrote a piece about this on birthplacemag.com. We're talking about it, but a lot of it, you know, I already wrote and kind of have out there. And it's at the top of birthplacemag.com. Check it out if you are interested in what I'm saying. And give me a 2 cents there in the comment section. It says, it's called Can Everyone Just Shut Up About Kendrick Lamar's To Pimp a Butterfly? And I don't want people to shut up about it. I think we should be talking about it. I think friends should be talking about it. Music lovers should be talking about it. But I'd be damned if I need every blog Dick and Harry to be talking about it. It's a waste of time. Go write about something important. Go write about other rappers that are making music like Kendrick Lamar, because he's not the only one. That's what you need to be writing about.
There's a big lack of good journalists, and that really hurts the industry.
Yeah, well, you know,
because like
I think
you said,
that,
if they're handing off, you know, album reviews to, you know, interns just can't come in, you know, straight from college or wherever, then that really, you know, hurts the industry, because you got people that don't have the experience, or they may not even have the knowledge in the genre that they're reviewing.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, you got to know the history a little bit, and we hear about that a lot from people that are, you know,
from a more seasoned. The Kendrick Lamar review should be for the, you know, the top hip-hop writer on the site, or the, you know, the editor of the magazine. You know, that's really should come from a trusted source.
Right, right, right.
Trusted media professional that, you know, delivers objective.
Yeah,
you know,
and again, even in that case, Steve, I just don't think it's necessary. Like, I get it, you know, I could give you what I thought about it, but, and listen, let's say you listen to me all the time on this show, and let's say you're like, you know, Manny Faces, he knows his stuff, man, he knows his hip-hop, he's into it, he just loves hip-hop, he wants to advocate for it, he doesn't hate on the trap music so much, but he really loves a good album that's got some thoughtfulness and consciousness, and he's going to tell me what I need to know about the Kendrick Lamar album. Why would I tell? Go listen to it.
Exactly.
Go listen to it yourself. Go buy it.
All that time you're reading the article, you could be listening to it.
You could be listening to it. Go buy the album. Don't. Because what if I say something that makes you say, meh, I'm going to pass on it. I don't like albums that are jazzy. You know what I mean? Like, if I said something that turns you off, but you might have listened to it yourself and found that you loved it. Like, it's so, it's such a waste of time. I hate it so much. Anyway, that's just my 2 cents on album reviews being a complete waste of time for the most part in music in general, to be honest with you. Because, again, with Spotify and, you know, some of these other things, anybody with a phone is able to hear them. It used to mean something. It doesn't anymore. So that's my two cents. Read about that on birthplacemag.com, my latest editorial. Once again, you're listening to the New York Hip Hop Report with Manny Faces and Steve Ortiz. We're here every Sunday night, 10 p.m. to 11:30. Call us up if you got something to say about something we're talking about, 646-378-1282. We're brought to you by Birthplace Magazine, the number one website for New York Hip Hop. Check the Birthplace Mag events calendar for all your area concerts and indie shows and open mics and all that jazz. As soon as we're offline here, I got to add a few more. Some good stuff happening out in Long Island we want to make sure you know about. Definitely not only about the five boroughs. Long Island got some things going on. In just a little bit, we're going to have air my talk with DC. Runs Central Station clothing stores and has done so for a great many years. And also has the I Am Strong Island concert series popping off. Couple locations every week. In conjunction with, I will be appearing on Strong Island Hip Hop Radio this Wednesday, the 25th. They broadcast every Wednesday live from a spot out in Baldwin, Long Island, Central Nassau, Baldwin, Long Island, a place called the Black Pearl. And it's over there, 1299 Grand Ave in Baldwin. And they're there from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. broadcasting their radio show live. So come on down and check it out. Check out them and what they're doing. Strong Island Hip Hop has done some good things over the past few years and increasing the awareness of artists that are making noise out in Long Island. And Strong Island Hip Hop Radio is one way they do that. Once again, Strong Island Hip Hop Radio, I'll be kicking it with them during their live show this Wednesday, the 25th, over at the Black Pearl in Baldwin. Shouts to Craig and DJ Benny Blanco and a bunch of other folks down with Strong Island Hip Hop Radio. And again, DC3, my talk with DC3 from the I Am Strong Island concert series coming up in just a few minutes. You were going to say, Steve, I'm sorry?
The Black Pearl, that's a nice name for a venue.
It's a nice spot,
I like,
man,
that.
And I appreciate it.
The Black Pearl.
I like it. It's a nice spot, and I appreciate
the Black Pearl.
The Black Pearl. Sounds like, you know, like an old jazz club, right? Something
yeah.
like that. It's good. It's a nice spot. It's nicely located. And, you know, we always like venues that open their doors to hip-hop. And, you know, a lot of venues won't spend their time messing with hip-hop. So whenever we find venues that we'll support on a regular basis, we big them up. So go check out the Black Pearl. They got food there, drinks there. I was only there for a couple minutes last time, but I'll be hanging out for a little bit and trying to get a feel for the spot tomorrow. So come have a drink with me, man. Black Pearl, Long Island. And, of course, I'm from Long Island. I grew up in Westbury, Long Island. So I've been here all my life. I lived in Freeport for a little while. And so I'm a Long Island head, man. So come through and hang out and, like I said, have a drink with me at the Black Pearl Wednesday night, 6 to 9. I hit up a couple of new events that we hadn't talked about in the past, Steve, so last week. Speaking of events going on around the city, I want to talk to you real quick about Supreme Bars. Supreme Bars is a monthly showcase. Well, it's not a showcase. It's actually a battle. Supreme Bars is really cool. It's shouts to the folks at Supreme Bars, Roberto, and everybody who runs that. What's his name? Analog. I forget what he calls it. Other name is, and I apologize, but that's the big homie, and he's been running the showcase for a few months now, and it's really it caught my ear. Of course, we talked about it. You know, he met up with me, said, "Hey, you're the guy that I need to tell is doing this stuff," and we put it on the calendar and all that. But I finally got to see one because I'd heard so many good things about it. Check this out, Steve. This is what they do. They have MCs and producers. Now you've seen like MC battles, right?
Yeah.
Freestyle battles or MC battles, and you've seen producer battles. A lot of beat battles go on in New York City. Well, as far as I know, this is the first one to kind of combine the two, and I like the vibe. So what they'll do is they'll have like two MCs go head to head over the beats of two producers going head to head. So you know, rapper A will drop do a quick 30 seconds or 45 seconds freestyle. Okay, top of the head though. This is Supreme Bars, so the writtens are not really felt. They'll give you a topic, sort of like Freestyle Mondays, our friends every first Monday at Meridian 23. Our event partners, Freestyle Monday. So they'll give you a topic on the spot, off the top of the head, freestyle, to nice. Producer A track. Then rapper B will also rock over producer A's beat. Then rapper A will rock over producer B's beat. And then rapper B will also rock over producer B's beats. And what you'll have is then you have three judges, who will, you know, then basically rate what they felt was the better lyrical performance and the better beat selection, you know, the better beat.
Oh, man, that's
the
tight.
Two rounds. They'll do this for a bunch of rounds, head-to-head, head-to-head. You guys drop off, and then we'll have a champion for the night. And, yeah, man, it's pretty cool. Daron Lev, a.k.a. Ugly Brain, crew, you know, won for like 3 months in a row. So he relinquished the crown to host the event, actually, and a bunch of performers came on. Rabbi Darkside, who is, you know, a fierce freestyle competitor, and how we've talked to, I think, on this show, he came away with the title. So it's a real cool event, man, and if you're an MC or a producer, this would be a spot to get into and to contact on a regular basis. They're going every month. It's been going on at... I'm trying to remember the name of the place. It's in Brooklyn. Black Bear Bar in Brooklyn. So right there in like Williamsburg area where all the venues are, the Black Bear Bar. And you go over there. It's every month. I think it's the third Wednesday of the month. Anyway, check the birthplacemag.com event calendar and then hit them up, Supreme Bars, on Facebook and try to get, you know, if you want to, I don't know, get involved with it as an MC, get your freestyle comp on. Or a producer to get your beat showcased. And let me tell you something. There's a two-man beat crew. I'm the worst right now because I don't remember. man. Wow. I can't remember the name of the beat crew that won. And they were so, like, their tracks banging, something like totally banging. So I'll figure that out. But, yeah, man, they came through. So I heard some beats that I really enjoyed. Supply and Demand, that's the name of the beat crew, Supply and Demand, who had some, like, real bangers out there. And then, like I said, Rabbi Darkside on the track. So check them out, man, Supreme Bars. You should check them out, monthly showcase, to go along with some of the other great events that are happening in the New York City area. Of course, EO Dub, end of the week, rocking every Sunday, same night as us. They rock every Sunday at the Pyramid Club. And, of course, Freestyle Monday is, like I said, once the first Monday of every month. The Writer's Block Concert Series, you can get down with them. I hope you're taking notes. You can check out the It's Alive Showcase Series. You know, a lot of artists are getting their practice in. They're getting their reps in, you know what I mean, by hitting up these stages every month, 3, 4, 5 different showcases every month. Again, check the Long Island I Am Strong Island Concert Series every week. You get a chance to come out, and you don't have to be from Long Island. I'm almost certain you come out from somewhere else and rock that stage. Put in your reps, man. Get in front of different crowds. It's damn important. Get in front of different crowds too, because too many people I know don't go from Long Island to the city, and too many people from the city don't come out on Long Island. Don't go to Jersey. Jersey
has seen that. They're stuck in their own borough. Showcase. They're like, they don't want to go outside of their comfort zone, and you got to travel. I mean, if you're performing only in the Bronx, you're limiting yourself.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, there's even stuff in Jersey. Lyrical Graffiti happens every month.
You should be going wherever you can get shows. If you got to go to PA, Connecticut, Jersey.
Up in the Bronx, what, Boogie Mikes goes on every month. You know what I mean? So there's these showcases that you can get into, and not like the pay showcases, not the like pay a certain amount of dollars and that they happen every now and then. If you want to get into those, that's fine, you know, but we're talking about showcases that, you know, I believe most of them, I mean, there's a mix of some, and the Elegant Hoodness musical showcase happens, musical program that happens every month or two. Like I say, EO Dub every single Sunday night at the Pyramid Club. It's one of the longest running hip hop open mics. Oh, Rocky Presents up at the New Eureka Poetry Club. That's once a month. They got the Words Showcase. Yo, there's so many opportunities for artists and for you fans, people who are looking to discover new things and new hip hop, and they don't want to listen what's on the radio. Almost any day of the week, you can find something. Definitely a few times a month. You can find decent indie showcases and performances that will deliver the type of hip-hop that you like. I said this last week, I'll say it this week, I'll say it every week. I don't care what kind of hip-hop you like, be it the trappiest trap or the boom-bappity-est bap. You can find it in New York almost any day of the week. So stop fronting and go find and support that type of talent that you keep asking for. So that being said, once again, let me run my talk with the great DC3. He's out here in Long Island. He's been doing this for a very long time. You might have seen the Central Station store. I used to live in Freeport. He's a producer. We had a little producer rivalry, a little crosstown Freeport production rivalry at some point. He was working with some dudes, and I was working with some dudes, and we didn't really know each other, but, you know, I knew his dudes, and his dudes knew my dudes, and we were trying to all make music, and it was a great time. I enjoyed myself as a producer doing that, and some great stuff came out of his store and his production facilities, and some great artists as well. You know, on this show and on Birthplace Magazine, we had a lot of, we've done some hip hop. We've had ciphers in his store that we've put up. We've seen a lot of Long Island artists, from veterans like R.A. the Rugged Man and De La Soul to like some of the new cats coming up like Reek the Villain, you know. And we've made sure that we've you know, tried to shine some light on Long Island's contributions to hip hop. And like I said, just a few weeks ago, the folks from the Inner Circle, and they have a weekly showcase on Long Island on Tuesdays. Last week we had Granddaddy IU. So I'm really trying to purposefully demonstrate that there's a whole ton of stuff happening in and around Long Island as well. You know, sometimes we sit in the shadow of New York City and they don't really give us our love. But we out here doing it. And D.C. has been a part of that movement for quite some time. The I Am Strong Island concert series, he'll tell you, goes on a couple times a week, Mondays and Wednesdays in Baldwin and in Hempstead. So really, man, if you want to get involved, or just like I said, come out and enjoy some indie talent, and or get involved as an artist, you know, you'll want to contact this man if you are not already familiar. So real quick, we're gonna get into this. It's my talk with DC from Central Station, the I Am Strong Island concert series.
What's going on?
Ain't nothing, man. You got like 5 minutes for me?
Yeah, you already know.
Yeah, man. I just, you know.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute, man. But I see you, you know, got things rolling again. And I was talking to the folks at the SIHH, and I'm coming up there this Wednesday for their radio show. And I know that you got the concert series going on Wednesday nights as well. So I'm like, I got to talk to you.
Exactly.
I got to talk to you for the radio show, man. Let people know what's going on. And please, man, tell me what you're up to these days and about the I Am Strong Island concert series.
Yeah, well, got the I'm Strong Island concert series going on every Wednesday at Black Pearl. We're also doing every Monday at Area 516 in Hempstead. So we've been doing the concert series since 2010, you know, doing different venues. 2014, I did about 15, 16 shows with the concert series. We started doing the shows in the city. We did Tobacco Road on 41st. Then we brought it back to Hempstead. Then we did Blackthorn in Queens. We did Amityville Music Hall. We've been all over the place.
Yeah.
So now we're at Black Pearl every Wednesday in Baldwin, 1299 Grand Avenue in Baldwin. And then we're at Area 516 in Hempstead, 248 Front Street in Hempstead.
Right.
On Mondays and Wednesdays. So.
These are all... showcases. So you curate the shows, you bring in the artists themselves, or do they pitch you? How does it work?
Some of the artists, yeah, we reach out to some of the artists, you know, that we know that have a fan base, and we book the artists to perform. And then sometimes, you know, with the buzz of the shows, artists reach out to me, and because they might know somebody that performed already, and we just go from there.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit, I mean, you've been in the game for so long. I've known you from like so many years ago and different iterations when you're doing production. You know, we've crossed paths so many times. But
right.
Tell me, like, you know, as you've been, you know, a purveyor of the scene for all these years, you know, Long Island, what kind of, I know it's a long thing to talk about, but what's the state of hip-hop on Long Island? It's different than the city. It's different than anywhere else. It kind of has its own vibe, man. So you being really one of the experts in that lane, you know, if someone to say the hip-hop scene on Long Island, how would you describe it at this time?
The hip-hop scene on Long Island is obviously been through a lot of changes over the last 3 years, you know, 4 years. It's been through a lot of different ups and downs. And I've seen, you know, Long Island in its glory days when we had the legends, you know, on top, you know, from Public Enemy, Rakim, De La Soul,
yeah,
Biz Markie, EPMD. You know, I've seen that go from now to the artists that we have now, but
what I see now is that, you know, in 2008, we kind of like shifted a lot of things because Strong Island Hip Hop, birth of a lot of magazines, a lot of, you know, radio shows, a lot of Long Island-centric things to help the artists
right.
get out there and get themselves known within the community of Long Island because, you know, at one point, it was just basically little showcases, mixtapes and stuff, and then with all the websites and stuff and coming out, and it kind of like spread the Long Island sound all over the place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But where is that now? Is we're making a little I see that a lot of artists now is kind of like focusing on singles now, and they're trying to, because, you know, you got Ra Hollows and 100 Block, you know, they got couple of records playing on the radio with Power 105.
Mm-hmm.
Also got Reek the Villains out there playing songs on the radio, doing radio interviews, Power 105.
Sure.
And, you know, Camera Shy has a good single out, Cabba Bang. A lot of artists now I see it being single-centric, and they're really trying to break the barriers. Instead of putting out a whole project, they're trying to just really get one song out there and get their name out there. Like, you know, a lot of artists is really focusing on song making now and really trying to make hit records.
Okay.
You know, I see that now.
Right.
Before, a lot of artists was basically trying to just put out a mixtape, put out a project.
Hmm.
But now a lot of artists is trying to really get a song to rock the clubs, strip clubs.
Yeah.
And to, like, get their name out, because, you know, Cake Boy Cheese, the Cake Boys, you know, these guys are actually out there in all the clubs throughout the boroughs. They're going out to Atlanta, and, you know, they realize that the club is very important in hip-hop right now. I mean, it's always been.
Right, right.
But,
no, you mentioned the strip club economy, you know, that that's where music is getting broken a lot these days. That's where, the DJs and the listeners and the A&Rs and people, that's where they're gravitating. So that's how it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, the DJ has always been important to hip-hop. And hip-hop, what people got to understand is hip-hop started as party music from day one.
Right.
From day one, it started in the park. So if you're not making people party, this is what hip-hop has been from day one. This
right.
is Kool Herc's African Bambaataa philosophy.
Right.
From day one, it's party music. Everything else came after that.
Right, right, indeed.
You understand what I'm saying? So from the inception of hip-hop, it started in the party. So if you're an artist, you know, you can make thought-provoking music. That's cool. But at the end of the day, if you're talking about the essence of hip-hop, it's party. Every record from Public Enemy, you can dance to.
Right, indeed.
In the heyday. Every record from Rakim, these clubs rock. These joints. The best lyrical rappers ever of all time, the illest political rappers going with danceable music.
Right, right.
So problem is, with just not Long Island, it's New York. The reason is that no one is making danceable New York music. Well, shit, Shook One is danceable, and that's the hardest core record going.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
like,
yes,
every Biggie record was danceable.
Right.
And the problem is that a lot of artists, you know, they're stuck on, you know, the 90s and the early 80s. But what they don't understand is they're missing the point. All of these records was played in the clubs. And
right.
it was played in the strip clubs.
Right.
Strip clubs existed from the beginning of time.
Absolutely.
So this is not new.
Right.
Strippers dance to Wu-Tang.
Right.
So what are we talking about here? Like, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
I tell
it's
a lot.
Just the point.
I was going to agree with you. I was going to say that a lot of times you have artists who are so anti-radio, you know, I understand maybe you don't want to sound like, you know, New York has that pride about our sound, and not everybody wants to try to jump on the trap sound bandwagon, but they're so anti-radio that they don't understand that there's a long history of making songs in a particular format that just resonate well with human beings. There's a hook and a chorus for a reason. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to completely go, you know, follow every sound that's out there on the radio, but constructing a song in a certain manner, making it fun and danceable, there's nothing wrong with that.
The reason why the trap music has taken over is because it has the clubs on lock.
Right.
End of story. There's no more other tour than that. New York as a whole has to focus on making New York-centric club music.
Yeah.
Without sounding like the South. You know?
Yeah.
This is what we always do. We've always been the innovators. And at the end of the day, this is the first time in history that actually, in the history of hip-hop, that you can go into a New York club, it doesn't matter any club, and rarely hear any New York music.
This is true, yeah.
And you know why? Because the New York artists are not making music for people to dance to. And not in New York sound music, you know?
Right.
The down South made their sound for the clubs.
Right.
And that sound has taken over because they don't have any alternatives.
Right.
What the DJ is going to play if they don't play any South music? What they going to play in the club?
Right.
What they going to play? You understand? They can't play this slow jam. They can't play this head nod record. They can't. Girls want to dance. They want to drink and they want to dance. And I'm not talking about strippers because strippers will dance to anything.
Right.
They're getting paid.
Right.
You know, they're getting
paid.
So strippers dance to anything.
No, you make a good point because a lot of people separate. They say, you can't make a record that's saying something and it be danceable. But you made a great point.
How can you not when Ten Crack Commandments is danceable?
Right, exactly.
How can they say that? When Rakim, it's been a long time since I left you, is danceable.
Right.
Public Enemy talking to pro-black power of the world.
Sure.
Here come the drums, Confusion, all of that. Welcome to the Terror Dome.
Right.
Don't Believe the Hype. All of these stuff is danceable.
Right.
I know because I was there in the club dancing to it.
I know. I feel you.
I know firsthand. So what are people talking about? You see, I was watching the interview with Ebro, right?
Mm.
And he brought up this exact point. He was having a conversation with Buckshot Shorty, and he brought up the same point.
Right.
He was saying that, listen, most of the Big Daddy Kane had dancers, Scoob and Scrap, and who could beat him? Rhyming.
Right.
So it wasn't ever about lyrics. I mean, it was about lyrics, but it's also about the beat at the same time. I mean, KRS-One had clubs, songs in the record, and he's dropping knowledge.
Right.
With rhymes.
Right.
South Bronx is danceable. I mean, I don't understand. Onyx, they were danceable. It was like, People got to understand, Black Sheep, any record, Tribe Called Quest, any artist, De La Soul, that you mentioned, have danceable records. But they killing dudes lyrically at the same time.
Right.
And this is the point that New York is, this is what New York is missing. This is what they're missing. You know, the South, and if they learn how to kill artists dancing with danceable New York tracks, and lyrically,
right?
Then who can fuck with New York?
It's a good point
because that make all the Fetty Wap and Trap Queens and all of them, Race Murder, whoever, step their rap game up.
Right. Fair.
Because now they got over all the lyrical rappers. Is that they?
Yeah, you
understand?
You make a good point.
Rap.
And we talked about
they
you know.
Rap.
People say that only the negativity sells and da da da. And the content wise, no. But I mean, Outkast was one of the best selling rap albums of all time, speaking some substance and totally danceable. You know what I mean? Totally movable. Totally.
Of course,
because
they brought substance
into
the
mix.
Game,
yeah.
And they make the thing. But their singles, Sorry Miss Jackson, and all this other stuff, Aquemini, all of these stuff was played in the club. Outkast is one of my favorite groups. And they were paid in the club. And
right.
They made the most creative rap music in the era.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? I mean, at the end of the day, if people that talk about the 90s actually didn't live in the 90s. They wasn't there. So they don't know.
Right.
They just going by what they see on internet.
Yeah.
But you got to talk to people that was there, like,
right.
You know, in the clubs at the time, you know, this is the Benjamins. That's why Puffy was able to take out the West Coast, because he made people dance.
Yes, indeed.
Over lyrical tracks, from Flavor in Your Ear to from Juicy to whatever.
Right.
He knew what he had to do. You understand what I'm saying? Because that's why no one could fuck with Bad Boy, because he had the illest lyrical rappers and he had the best dance tracks. And that was that.
That's what's up.
You know, so at the end of the day, and no one can say the Benjamins was a commercial record, but it was danceable. It was a loop that no one knew.
Mm.
It wasn't an 80s or early 80s loop, a hit record, and it was a hit.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Busta, Put Your Hands Where Your Eyes Can See. It was an unknown loop, and people danced till they could dance no more.
Yeah, and they still do. You're damn right. So do you see?
And they still do.
Yeah, they still do. That's a classic of all classics. Both of those joints. You're right.
Right.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying.
Old school to the new. But so do you see some, you know, in all the showcases that you do and all the artists that you see coming through, you know, either, you know, on your stages, you know, through the store, you know, you see that some of the artists out here maybe are getting, you see some of them are more single centric. They're starting to see it maybe. So you think there's some hope for us in this area?
Well, the thing is that the artist that's making the singles, of course, they're going with the status quo of today.
Right.
Because they don't know any other way.
Right, right.
You understand? So if that's what's selling,
right,
they're going with what's selling.
Right.
You know, but it took a few artists to even understand that, because a lot of the artists wasn't even making music that was close to selling.
Right.
So at the end of the day,
so maybe
you know, a lot
that.
Of artists. Right. So now they at least they're understanding that radio play is very important.
Right.
Making a hit single is very important, because without hit records, you know, there's no Long Island movement.
Sure, sure.
You know what I'm saying?
And your point is very valid, that they got to just be able to combine the two, that you can make something that still sounds New Yorkish. We do have a vibe. We do have a sound that we want to stick to, and make it a hit danceable record, even have some substance on it. You say that Perfect Storm can still exist, and more artists from the area should be trying to achieve that.
Exactly. They should try to understand what even the producers, you know, the producers are important too, because the producers is going with the status quo. Like, they're not even offering up those type of records.
Right, right.
But even artists to choose from, you know. So, you know, everyone has to understand, you know. So what's going to happen is a breakthrough is going to have to happen.
Right.
Someone's just not going to give a fuck what's on the radio.
Right.
And just go with it and just say, listen, this is what it is, you know, and then it has to be proven that this is sellable music and it takes the club out. I mean, you have to look at it. Bobby Shmurda, right?
Mm.
Hot nigga, you know, it was a Lloyd Banks beat and it was danceable, but Lloyd Banks never had put it out as a single. It was an album cut or whatever.
Right.
He took it, put some new lyrics to it. And the reason why it blew up so big, because everyone, and he put a dance to it, and everyone said that's why he blew up big. That's
right.
Why it went where it went, because it took over the clubs.
Right, right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
It took over the clubs. And I did like the formula that French Montana did off of his first single, when he used Lord of the Underground for his record, and that took over the clubs everywhere.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But it was New York music, but And they made it. That's coming out of the Bad Boy camp. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But French does a lot of Southern style music as well.
Right.
But that one record, that he kind of took he took the clubs with that, and it was definitely a New York record without a doubt.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, like, a lot of people throw shade at him for the Southern sound, but you're right. In some regard, he was trying to, like, I guess, play both sides of the fence. It kind of worked for him.
But he had to do what he had to do, because
right. They're
in control of the game.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They're in control. They're not in control of the game. They're in control of the club.
Right. Right.
That's the thing. Whoever controls the club controls the game.
That's it.
Because the club record, that same club record is played on the radio. That same club record is played on MTV. That same club record is played in all the formats.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you're right.
I was gonna say
even now you get that same club record that's played in the clubs, strip clubs, on TV, Hot 97, Power 105, and now some of those are even making it over to the 92.3s and Z100s. Now you're talking big time.
And what do they play?
Right.
What do they play all day?
Dance music. Yep, you got it.
What do they play?
Right.
You're not getting on pop radio if you can't dance to it.
Right. And that's what's up. DC, you make some good points, my man. You make some good points, you know.
I've been doing this a long time, man.
Yes, sir. I appreciate your perspective and your insight, man. People should be taking heed. You know, there's no one answer, but like you say, you know, understand the game, study the craft, study your history, and you have a much better chance of making it if this is your passion and your goals. You know what I mean?
Now, on another note, I'm just going to say this real quick. The other angle is that you have the J. Cole's, you have the Kendrick Lamar's,
yes.
You have the Drake's, and you have the Eminem's, who doesn't really make club mix, music.
Mm-hmm.
But their overall perspective is a good album.
Right.
But they have those radio singles.
Got to have them, yeah.
That's going to blow. You understand? Yeah. So the thing is, you could make an overall concept album and make it good, especially for the lyrical rappers.
Right.
But your beat selection and your whole concept and idea, because Kendrick Lamar made a whole theme of his two albums, you know?
Yeah.
J. Cole, the same thing. It's a theme.
Right.
And that's taught by the greats, Dr. Dre, Jay-Z's behind him. Like, you know, you got to make a concept to your album, like, so people can get to know you,
yeah,
especially when you're a lyrical rapper and your beats have to be incredible. Like, you know, you have to really take your time and make a full project album and put your time and effort into the music if you're going to go that route.
Right, indeed.
You understand what I'm saying? You got to make a full album. Like, you can't be half-baked. It's,
yeah.
You can't just, you know, you gotta draw the people in. Kendrick
yeah.
Lamar, that's exactly what he did. Whether people hate it or they love it, he drew the people in.
Yeah, no, that's a great example of that, too, because, like you said, there's a couple of songs in there that caught people's attention, and the album itself, you know, he got, I mean, he damn near doing spoken word on there, but he got people paying and pulling them Spotify's down and checking out that album left and right because he pulled
in. I did.
In. Yeah.
I went to Spotify.
I did too.
Okay,
you know, and
so,
you know what? It's a damn good album, and it's well put together, and it's, like you said, conceptually, and, you know, it's cohesive. You listen start to finish. It tells a story. It's got some bangers on it. It's got some stuff you got to really think about. It's a real complete album following
and
a lot of
what you did. And he didn't care what the status quo was.
That's right. So maybe
he just went and did it.
So maybe there's some hope.
And with Dre, that's because Dre and Jimmy Iovine said J. Cole. He got his core fan base.
Yeah.
He had the singles, you know, Don't Kill My Vibe and
right.
all that. So
right.
he's out there, you know.
Right.
So now his second album, he could do what he wanted to do. And look, came in number one on the charts. Same thing with J. Cole.
Yep.
Same thing with Drake.
There it is.
You know, so the artists, one thing I can say about artists is that a lot of artists, they follow, right? But they follow who they want to follow. You understand?
Mm, right.
Like, artists follow who they want to follow, who fits into their format, because you have good examples. You got Drake, you got Kendrick Lamar, you got Joey Badass, you got, you got J. Cole. Like, you could example your music after them, right? Or you can go the Fetty Wap, or you can go the Migos route. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So artists actually choose who they want to choose, you know, because if you know you're going to follow Meek Mills, you know you got to learn how to really rap.
True.
If you're going to follow J. Cole, you got to learn how to rap.
True.
You can't follow these dudes without learning now how to rap.
Right, right.
So if you don't want to learn how to rap, you're going to follow non-rapping rappers.
Right.
There you go. And then there's some people that do know how to rap that follow that route because they feel it's the easier way.
Right, right.
But what people don't understand, yeah, these guys got singles, but they don't have a career.
Right, that's true.
They don't.
They really flash in the pan. Yeah, yeah. And that's not exactly...
They don't have a career.
Right. You don't want to follow that, but people do. Yeah.
Yeah, but people do. They
yeah.
choose. They pick and choose. So when I see artists, like, at my showcases, at the concert series, you know, artists choose who they want to choose. You got, you know, I have some lyrical rappers, and I have the trap rappers. You know,
mm-hmm.
we have both. And sometimes it mixes, sometimes it don't mix.
Right.
You know, because sometimes the lyrical rappers feel some type of way about fat rappers, and the trap rappers like, oh, man, fuck that shit. You see? So it's that type of situation.
Right, right. Well,
you know,
one of the things that you're doing, I guess, by doing that is one of the things that we always talk about, and we just want to see balance in the game. You know what I mean? There's a
right.
People like what they like. You know, you don't want to be, you know, like you say, in a club getting turned up to some slow, thoughtful, you know, track,
nah,
you know? So there's a place
chicks
for
don't
everything.
Want that.
Right, indeed. You know, and we want
yeah.
what the chicks want. So, you know, but yes, indeed. So, you know, it's good that you're showing balance and definitely open up your stages to both types and letting, you know, letting the people decide and such. So we appreciate that, man. One time real quick, again, the showcases, let them know Long Island can come out and represent, support some some indie talent. I'll say the local talent or underground. These are independent artists trying to do independent things. So support
right.
that independent scene on Long Island. Come out to your showcases. You said Wednesday. Tell them again, Wednesday at Black Pearl in Baldwin.
Wednesday's at Black Pearl, 1299 Grand Avenue in Baldwin, Long Island. And then Monday at Area 516, 248 Front Street in Hempstead, Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
So doors open up at 10 o'clock at both spots, and we rock out to like 2 in the morning. So, you know, come through.
That's
check
what
it out.
Is. That's what it is. We'll make sure all of those events are put out. They're weekly events, both every week. So we'll make sure they're on our birthplacemag.com event calendar so people roll through there, check it out. And, yeah, man, come through, support some indie talent. Strong Island, Long Island, where we rest. The I Am Strong Island concert series going down. D.C. still got the store going?
Yep, we were at 15 East Merrick Road in Freeport, right in between Rainbow Shop and Walgreens. The store is going to have the major grand opening on Memorial Day weekend.
That's what's up. All right, we'll be in the house, man.
Look out for that.
Definitely, definitely. We'll be through. I need them shirts, man. We need them shirts.
Oh, yeah. It's coming.
That's what it is. All right, DZ3, thank you, man, for checking in with us. And like I said, glad to see everything's rolling, and good luck to you, sir.
All right.
All right,
I'll catch you
Wednesday. I'll be up there Wednesday.
All right, yeah, I'll see you in the building.
All right, my man.
All right.
All right, peace. There it is. My talk with DC3, Central Station Clothing Store, and, of course, the I Am Strong Island concert series goes down twice a week at Area 516 in Hempstead and Black Pearl in Baldwin, Long Island. Check him out. He is on Twitter at Central X, also on Instagram, Central Station X, and you can check that out twice a week out on Long Island, little showcases, little action concert series that's happening, so that's what we want to see. Of course, also earlier that night, Strong Island Hip Hop, we talked about Strong Island Hip Hop Radio.net, SIHH Radio.net stands for Strong Island Hip Hop, SIHH Radio.net. And they air from the Black Pearl earlier that evening, 6 to 9 p.m. So Wednesday nights after work and then after work, you get the live broadcast from Strong Island Hip Hop Radio. And I'll be on that at some point during this Wednesday, 25th, 6 to 9 p.m. I'll be, talking to them about what I do and, you know, just kicking it with the folks at Strong Island Hip Hop Radio. And then, of course, later on that night, the I Am Strong Island Concert Series continues its weekly residency at Black Pearl in Baldwin, and again Monday. So that's DC3. If you missed any of that interview, you'll be able to check that as well as our full show, as well as every full show that we've ever done on our nyhiphopreport.com website. Interesting points, Steve. He brings up some interesting points.
For sure. I mean, one of the things that stood out was he was talking about, danceable lyrical tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he brought up the Benjamins and Flav Vigneur and even some tracks from back in the day, you know, Eric B. Ira Kim. And I don't know if we really see that anymore.
Yeah, no, it's really a good point.
Yeah. I mean,
we talk about the fact that, you know, there's not, you know, people have the false conception that everyone from New York is trying to sound like they're from down south. And that's not, I don't find that to really be the case. I think there's a lot of people that try that. But we certainly talk about all the sort of middle ground artists that are really buzzing that really don't subscribe to that. So I don't see that being the case as much as some people think that is. But what he said about clubby, you know, danceable music that could really come across the club, you know, people say, well, they don't want to sacrifice their content for, you know, club music or dance music. But, you know, he made several great analogies where some of the more, you know, revolutionary music, even in some cases, but definitely music that was saying something, was also lighting up the clubs. And that's interesting, you know?
Yeah, you have to be able to have some, you know, music that people can, you know, listen to musically and say, oh man, that's a, you know, it's a nice track, let's hit the dance floor.
Right.
And
right.
You know, you should be able to do that with a lot of early hip hop rap music in the 90s had a lot of danceable lyrical tunes. I mean, there was a lot of head nodders, obviously, but
sure.
You know, artists made, you know, they had in mind a kind of, you know, radio single, and then, you know, that's always the bait to bring them into, you know, the rest of your stuff.
Sure, sure. And I think we saw that a little bit with, I don't know if I really saw it that much with Kendrick Lamar. I mean, you know, he had, I guess maybe to a certain degree, King Kunta came out, and that's kind of danceable, and I could see that coming on in a club. I could see that popping off. I know that
well, they were talking about that song, I, the I song.
Yeah, that's a good song. I know that for some of the people who are actually more of a, you know, into the trap sound, that Be All Right, We Gonna Be All Right, that song comes on, and I've seen clubs get lit, you know, from that. So I think that that was really well done, his choices of singles, where it's like, listen, I don't care what era you're from, what type of hip-hop you play, or what area of the country you play, I'm going to give you a single for the club. I'm going to give you something for the club. And then you listen to his album, and right off the gate, like, there's no, you know, it's very jazzy and funky and spoken wordy, and he's saying some things, but he absolutely pulled people in with those singles that were danceable. And same thing with J. Cole, and he had a couple of radio singles that were really popping. So again, the moral of the story is, man, you know, don't be so anti-radio. I know that radio is not giving New York any love, and we've taken them to task on it. We've gone at Hot 97, and we've called them out, and we have petitions in with the FCC and all kinds of stuff, because we realize and recognize that they're not giving the community that they broadcast to the respect that it deserves, and that really by nature of being a radio station that's you know, overseen by the government, you're supposed to cater to your community. And we call them out because they're not. They're not giving us that love. I understand that, and I think there's a lot of New York artists who are like, fuck the radio, because they also recognize that. But as DC, you know, just pretty eloquently said, you still got to make club joints. You still got to make enjoyable music for people to grab a hold of and become infectious. You know what I mean? Like, there's something to be said for that. Like I say, a good hook and a good chorus goes a long way. It doesn't mean that you can't make radio style songs just because you're not feeling what's on the radio. You know what I mean? I think a lot of artists make that mistake, to be honest. And it's an interesting point. Like I say, we whatever you say about New York hip hop being dead or not having this or not having that, you're wrong, because it's all out here. But he makes a good point that for it to really get put on the map, you do have to cater to that wide audience.
Cameron used to make a lot of tracks, you know, for the club, and people would respond to that. But at the same time, he was being lyrical.
Right, you could do that if you want. You know, we've heard, you know, Homeboy Sandman, for example, you know, say, listen, I'm really not going to make songs for radio. He says, why can't I have a 24-bar verse? why do my verses have to be 16? And that's absolutely fine, and we love and respect him.
But I feel like he makes some danceable tracks, too.
I think he actually does. He absolutely does. He's had some radio-worthy, you know, not worthy, but in the style of radio. See, it's funny, Steve, I put this out.
The Carpenter is a danceable track. I might keep moving to that.
I put this out like last year as sort of an experiment. That's why I was really feeling what DC was saying. I put it out there and I said, listen, all y'all people that, you know, hate the radio and hate what the radio plays, Hot 97 plays or Power 105 plays, and it's all that garbage, right? All y'all either older heads or just y'all don't feel what's on the radio. Who would you put on the radio if you could control what goes on the radio? Post it here to my Facebook wall. And I rarely do that because I'm not, you know, I already get so many damn submissions in the email and I can't even go through everything I get as it is. So I'm not trying to hear. But I said specifically, if you ran a radio station, what do you think would be worthy? And people post, I said, I don't care if it's you and your music, but I'd really rather it be like you telling me about somebody that maybe I don't know about or just somebody you're feeling and would know that this would work well on radio. And Steve, I'm sorry. And some of them are good songs, I'm not going to lie. But they're not, they would never, your radio station would close down in a week. That's it. Nobody would listen to your radio station. Because, and it's not because the music wasn't good. Because, you know, we talked to Cypher Sounds on this show. And remember he told us about sandwiching, where you take a hit and then you take another hit and you put like a new song in between them to try to get the people to, you know, to feel it. Because if you just play new music all the time, people are going to tune out. That's generally the case. Not everyone's into it like we're into it. So you got to find ways to, you know, get the people to accept something new because they are very programmed, and that's how radio has worked since the beginning of time. But that doesn't mean, and you don't have to subscribe to that. You don't have to do payola. You can make a great living as a rap artist in 2015 and not be on the radio. But make a song that people are going to dance to, like, and bop their head to and pass and sing, you know, get an earworm, you know what I mean? And tell their friends about it, or can't stop playing. And then their friend get in the car and be like, what you playing? Oh, I'm playing this new joint, but I can't get it out of my head. It's so catchy. And you're singing it in the bathroom.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, there's something
New York
to be
said. New York has how many millions of people? And these clubs all throughout the city that pack, you know, every Friday and Saturday night.
Right.
You know, I mean, that kind of publicity is priceless.
Right, right. No, absolutely. Listen, it'd be great, and there are, like, we make the joke, you and me, Steve, all the time. Like, when I'm in a club, I'm not trying to get turned up to Immortal Technique. You know what I mean? and Immortal Technique may say, I'm not going to make songs that are radio-friendly by any stretch of the imagination. I'm going to do my art, and my art, by definition or by nature, isn't for that. And that's fine, because he has enough fans, he has enough fan base, and he does his thing, and he's very solid in his way of making music. But look, you know, how many people would know who Talib Kweli is if he didn't have Get By?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How many people would know who Lupe Fiasco is if he didn't have Touch the Sky, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and these guys are like, you know, how many people would know who Kendrick Lamar is if he didn't do the Control verse, which, you know, he shitted on every rapper alive. But, you know, how many people would be really excited for To Pimp a Butterfly if they hadn't heard, you know, not King Kunta, the
I, the lead single?
I, but there was one more. I'm the Biggest Hypocrite in 2015, whatever that song is. I forget the name of it offhand. You know, that song came out, and people heard that, was like, wow, he's coming with something. It wasn't so much danceable and radio-ready, but it was, you know, it was a leaked single-ish kind of thing. And matter of fact, in his case, like I just said a few minutes ago, having that, having I, and having King Kunta, you gave such varying degrees of styles, you were going to catch everyone's attention because you gave every type of person who listens to rap their own kind of vibe to get with, and everyone had something they could get from him. So it was this whole concept to the nth degree. So, yeah, man, anyway, there's plenty of people doing it, but it shouldn't be overlooked. So anyway, you're checking out the New York Hip Hop Report with Manny Faces, Steve Ortiz, Birthplace Magazine, birthplacemag.com, brings you this show every Sunday night, 10 p.m. to 11:30. We're just kicking it, man. Right now we're just kicking it. DC3 from Central Station and the I Am Strong Island Concert Series called in and gave his 2 cents about the state of Long Island hip-hop, New York hip-hop, hip-hop in general, and, of course, the concert series. So we're just kicking it, like friends do, y'all and us. We're here every Sunday night. Check out our old episodes, any episode you might have missed, some great interviews, some great conversations, and put you onto some great new hip-hop. NYHipHopReport.com, all of our shows are archived there. And, of course, we're brought to you by Birthplace Magazine, birthplacemag.com, the number one website for New York hip-hop. Check out the birthplacemag.com event calendar for all your New York area hip-hop event needs. We're usually there. Once again, shouts to Supreme Bars, who welcomed us into their monthly event, an MC and producer competition all at the same time. That's kind of new, and I dug it. So check out Supreme Bars once a month over at the Black Bear Bar in Brooklyn. That'll be on the calendar as well. Yeah, you
Black
like that,
Bear
right?
Bar, I like that.
It's hard to say.
Black,
yeah.
Black Bear Bar.
There it is, Black Bear Bar. Interesting thing going on. I want to shout out to M. Josephine. She's got a panel out in New Jersey tomorrow. If you're an artist, or really if you're an entrepreneurial type, or maybe in the fashion business. Like I said, our event calendar has a lot of great stuff, not just, you know, rap artists rappity rapping, but they have. She's having a great panel. It's called How to Build a Following with Music and Fashion Experts. On the panel, and it's going down tomorrow, 6 p.m. It's in Jersey, perhaps Jersey City. Hang on un momento. I'll check it out. But, again, it's interesting that we see panels that discuss hip-hop in various formats, and this is one of them. I guess if you're an artist, they have a couple of people there from a couple of agencies and studios and creative design. It's in Jersey City at a place called Art House Productions. So if you're a music and fashion professional or an artist or, you know, an entrepreneur and you're in the Jersey City area tomorrow from 6 to 10, I think it's free. Check out that event on the birthplacemag.com event calendar. I want you guys to get information if you're an entrepreneur, if you're an artist, if you're trying to do some things. Again, also at the same time, unfortunately, another good panel for women in hip-hop. So we talk about this. A few weeks ago, we had on the wonderful ladies from Mama's Hip Hop Kitchen, who celebrated their 8th annual event at Hostos Community College up in the Bronx, where the people are fresh. And it was a really monumental success. I loved the show that they put on. They have nothing but women artists doing hip-hop. And it's a day-long event, and they have vendors, and they have speakers, and Rod Digga was there, and Liquid performed, and At Last performed, and you know, some of the women MCs that I know personally. It was really great to see, and it was just a great, huge turnout, big auditorium filled with people checking out, you know, women doing great hip-hop. And to further that, I guess March being, what, Women's Month, right? National Women's Month. Behind the scenes, women in hip-hop. It's a panel discussion at the Apollo Theater, world famous. So, of course, also happening at the same time. But if you're in New York City, you go to this one. If you're in Jersey City, you go to that one. Tomorrow, March 23rd at the Apollo Theater, women in hip-hop. It's a panel discussion. It's free with an RSVP. You will talk to Kathleen Adams will be on that panel. Kathleen, you know, calls in part of Mama's Hip-Hop Kitchen along with La Tere. She's going to be on that panel, and it's going to be moderated by a very good friend of mine. Her name is Callie Green, and she's the managing editor and director of OKPlayer.com. So a huge website that does great things. She works with The Roots, and she's a wonderful, wonderful person, and she's great. Anna Rockefeller Garcia, she's a hip-hop dancer, choreographer, B-girl. For a very long time, she's done some great work. She's going to be on that panel. DJ Reborn will be on that panel. Queen God Is, who is a great MC and performance art therapist. Interesting, he's going to be on that panel. Tiffany Vega, who runs High Arts Hip Hop Theater Festival that we've talked about in the past, is going to be on that panel. So women in hip hop, but also probably really beneficial to anyone in the game. These panels are very important. They're free. They give you information that you can't get anywhere else. And we value them. One of the other things I want to talk about is art battles. Every Thursday night at Les Poissons Rouges. You know, it's my favorite venue just because I get to say it like that. Les Poissons Rouges. Every Thursday, art battles. So, again, it's hip-hop, but, you know, the artistic aspect, the artistic element of hip-hop cannot be overlooked. Art battles invite graffiti artists, street artists, painters, fine artists to battle on stage. Four artists simultaneously drawing pieces live while the MC spins music and the people just vibe out. It's a beautiful concept. I spoke with the person in charge of this who started this many, many years ago. His name is Sean Bono. I will have him on the next episode of the Many Faces Show, my other radio show and podcast, which airs every other Thursday on bonfireradio.com. Here's a really interesting thing. Like, it's art. Last week they had Mirrors One from Five Points, the great graffiti mecca, the long lost, rest in peace, gone but never forgotten, Five Points out in Long Island City. Danielle Mastrion, who's another great muralist and street artist who we've had on this show, she painted the Beastie Boys tribute. She painted the Biggie Smalls mural out in Brooklyn.
Yankee Stadium stuff.
All the Yankee Stadium stuff you might have seen in Yankee Stadium. She was on this show. Both of them have been on this show. They were battling each other. Sean Bono and then another artist, I'm not sure who, competed last week. And it's great. It's a few, you know, it starts at 10 o'clock. It's at Les Poissons Rouges, a great venue. And you'll see artists actually doing it from scratch. It's really interesting. Music's great. Hosted and DJed by our friend Ill Spoken, who also runs Freestyle Mondays every first Monday of the month at Meridian 23. There's so many things going on in New York City. There's a rap battle. The URL Ultimate Rap League is battling at Gramercy Theater on Saturday. So if you like that raw, you know, battle rap scene, there's a big event coming up Currency is going to be at BB King. Cypher Sounds does his weekly Take It Personal Hip Hop Improv Comedy Show. Again, April 6th, Freestyle Mondays is back. Lecrae is coming to town. You know, Grammy Award winning Christian MC, Lecrae is coming to town. Talib Kweli and Immortal Technique are coming to, you know, coming to perform in the city. So many good things going on. And, of course, like I said, weekly showcases in Long Island give you that independent. We just had a great show at the Paramount. The Paramount in Huntington had a big show with Travis Scott and Young Thug. So, really, again, I can only say this a million times, whatever kind of hip-hop you like. I don't care if it's mainstream trap. I don't care if it's boom bap, veteran, old school. It's happening in New York City and its surrounding areas. And there's only one place you're going to find out about it. There's only one place. You're not going to get this on Hot 97. You're not going to get this on Power 105. You're only going to get all of this here on the New York Hip Hop Report every Sunday night, 10 p.m. And there at birthplacemag.com. Make sure you check in with us and support us and spread the word, man. Follow us on Twitter. Shout us out at Birthplace Mag, at NY Hip Hop Report. My name is Manny Faces, at Manny Faces. I will DJ your event. Don't forget to book me. My bookings are light. Let's get that popping up. I'll come in and DJ your showcase. I'll come in and DJ your party. Let's do some 90s throwback parties. I'm in. Let's go. Hit me up. Let's find out where you want to rock, and let's do it. And I'll be on Strong Island Hip Hop Radio this Wednesday, the 25th. 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., SIHHradio.net, over there at the Black Pearl and Ball with my Long Island heads. Where you at? Come hang out with me, man. And it's a beautiful thing to just be in my, you know, hometowns and see some hip-hop, you know, being done proper-like. So that's where we're at. Steve, what else we got on the menu? Anything else you want to talk about, bring up tonight?
Just real quick, man, I saw this article in Variety where Russell Simmons is planning to bring a hip-hop musical to Broadway.
Now, I believe
2016.
I believe it when I see it, because it's Russell Simmons, and you know, I have mixed feelings about this. He wants to bring a musical. There's not much information about it. It's funny how like someone like Russell Simmons could just say he wants to bring something to Broadway, and he has an idea, and every possible media outlet writes it up as its gospel. I will say this though. If it's being reported right, it's supposedly being written by Dan Charnas. And Dan Charnas used to work for Def Jam. He wrote the book called The Big Payback, which is a gargantuan book that breaks down like the history of the business of hip-hop. And first of all, I completely recommend it. Again, if you're an artist, if you're a fan, that's what we do on this show. We really try to bring you stuff that if you're an artist or a fan, either way, you're going to get some value out of it. And The Big Payback is a really fascinating book. It's huge. It's like two Bibles, man. It's like 400-something pages. It's ridiculous. But it really breaks down the history of the business of hip-hop and how it came from really nothing to, you know, being the multi-billion-dollar worldwide economy that it is. Dan Charnas is a great writer, and I respect him. And he's supposedly attached to this project that Russell Simmons wants to bring to Broadway. I guess from what I don't know, Steve, correct me if, you know, you see it differently. It makes it sound like, you know how like they did the Motown musical where, you know, all the songs of Motown were kind of weaved together to become a musical, you know, maybe what? Like the Tupac musical, Holla If You Hear Me. Remember we talked about Holla If You Hear Me a few months ago. There was a Tupac musical on Broadway very briefly, didn't last very long. And it was sort of the story that was built around the songs of Tupac. And I liked it. But I didn't think it translated well. So if Russell Simmons is trying to do the same kind of thing, and who's going to be involved and what music is going to be involved, is it only going to be Def Jam? It's sort of like the history of hip-hop maybe in a musical format.
I mean, it looks like the songs will probably be, well, from what they're saying, from the mid-1980s to the mid-1990s. Yeah, but so they do have a staff in place. You know, they got a team of producers, supposedly. You know, they got this guy... produce a big Scott Present, who's produced the Rock of Ages. So I don't know. We'll see.
So it's going to be Rock of Ages for hip hop, basically, is what it sounds like. Which is,
yeah,
you know, getting that kind of where they make a story around a bunch of songs from an era. Sounds cutesy. Sounds interesting. Like I say, Dan Charnas involved. I have some hope, but Russell Simmons involved.
Yeah, man, that's the only shady part about it.
Kind of.
crazy you say
we'll
that,
see.
But it's
true. We're gonna watch that. We're going to definitely keep an eye on that. I'd like to talk to some of the producers, maybe get them on the show and convince me that this is something that's going to be viable. I have a problem with, as y'all know from what I wrote on Birthplace Magazine, my editorial about classic hip-hop radio stations that are popping up across the country. I'm waiting to see how they turn out, because I said that even though it's a great idea and people seem to love it and are rushing to support it, that I don't think it's going to last long. And while I think that classic hip-hop radio format is an interesting thing, I think that it's still, because it's being run by radio people who aren't very, very innovative at heart, that I don't think it's going to be something that's going to hold people's attention. I don't think it's going to be done with enough innovation and forward thinking and the things that are necessary to really appeal to people in 2015, even people who are old school at heart. And I'm afraid of, and I think that's what plagued the Tupac musical. I wrote a great analysis about why the Tupac musical failed, or why I thought it did. So maybe I should forward that to the producers of the Russell Simmons hip hop musical and say, hey, listen, maybe you need some consultancy, you know, because I've been right about a few things. We knew that Rock the Bells was going to fall apart, and look what happened. And we knew that the Tupac musical wasn't going to last, and look what happened. So,
you had a Tupac musical on Broadway, and it failed, and that's terrible. I mean, the fact that they got to Broadway is big enough as it is, because I mean, it could have very well stayed on off Broadway, and it just, you know, which is Broadway.
Yeah, I think the Russell Simmons thing that they're talking about, I think I read somewhere where it's hinting that it might not go straight to Broadway, which if anyone has any sense, that's how they'll do it, you know, because I don't think that these things, hip-hop and Broadway can absolutely work. I want to shout out to Stomp. Stomp has been out for 20 years now, and it's not hip-hop necessarily, but it's, you know, it's got a lot of hip-hop influence, and that's gonna be doing 20 years, you know, 20-year anniversary now, so shouts to the folks at Stomp. So hip-hop and Broadway can work, and I think it just hasn't been quite gotten yet. And if I don't know if this is going to be the concept that does it, but we'll be paying attention to find out, you know.
In the Heights worked well. That was that started actually off Broadway and then made its way to Broadway. And that was very hip-hop oriented.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's how it has to be. I think it absolutely has to happen off Broadway, work out the kinks, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that's that. I mean, there's some gossipy stuff that's been going on. Nothing really too exciting. And I think we covered a lot tonight, man. So I really appreciate you, Steve, for being here. Shouts once again to DC3, Central Station Clothing Store, reopening in Freeport, Long Island, starting in, Memorial Day. So that's always been a real, you know, community spot. I you heard me at the end of our talk. I said I need those shirts. He got these pretty dope shirts that says I am Strong Island, and it's got the whole, you know, Long Island vibe to it. And I've been trying to get my hands on one of those for a while. They're very hot demand out here, and short supply. So we got to get those shirts. You know, I do rep my Long Island, you know, Long Island Strong Island, man. So, but once again, the I Am Strong Island concert series, just one of a few things that are really starting to, you know, pop up in Long Island again. Shouts to the Inner Circle folks. They have something every Tuesday at Amityville Music Hall, the Earwax Sessions, Chad Law, Mac Vick, and the folks from the Inner Circle. They're doing that event every Tuesday, so shouts to them. Every Monday in Hempstead area 516, you have the I Am Strong Island concert series, and every Wednesday at Black Pearl. This Wednesday, the 25th, between 6 and 9, I'll be hanging out with the folks at Strong Island Hip Hop Radio, SIHHradio.net. Check them out live from the Black Pearl in Baldwin every Wednesday, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. This week I'll be on hanging out with them. Shouts to Craig Herring. Shouts to DJ Benny Blanco. Shouts to, I guess I know some others that are involved with them. But, you know, shouts to anyone out there trying to rep Long Island in a positive manner on a hip-hop tip, man, because we have so much legacy and history out of Long Island. Of course, the God MC, someone, you know, would say the greatest rapper ever, Rakim Allah, is from Wine Dance, Long Island. We have the De La Soul Crew. We got Public Enemy. We got Soma K Solo. We got so many, you know, Keith Murray. We got Biz Markie. We got, you know, even Method Man hung out here for a little while. Granddaddy IU was on last week, and, you know, DJ Johnny Juice is out here, and, you know, man, you know, there's just a lot of talent that have emerged from Long Island that have gone on to really become, you know, icons in the, you know, annals of hip-hop history. You know, you don't, that's what, I think we have a really high, like, legend to flop ratio out here. You know what I mean?
I agree.
You know, I think, like, if you take all the artists from, like, certain areas of the country or certain boroughs, you know, all the artists who, like, achieved, like, maybe a C-level or a higher level of success but never made it to A-level, and you did some kind of mathematical computation, I think our legend to flop ratio is really, really high. Because, you know, who came out from Long Island that made some noise but then never really, really, really made it? There's a few, of course, you know, but we have a lot. I mean, Busta Rhymes is from Long Island, fam. Let's not forget, you know. So, you know, Leaders of New School, of course, a Long Island group. A lot of other people with Long Island roots or Long Island connections. So, yeah, man, shouts to us for once, man. We always bigging you up, Steve, in the Bronx. And all the Bronx's great contributions. So shout to Long Island this week, man. And thanks again to the I Am Strong Island concert series for checking in. Birthplace Magazine, birthplacemag.com, the number one website for New York hip-hop in all the universe. My name is Manny Faces. You can find out more about me, mannyfaces.com. Once again, I'm a DJ, I'm a remixer, and a radio host, show host, event host, and I can be booked for relatively inexpensively. Find out how to get to me at mannyfaces.com. I'll see you Wednesday if you're at the Black Pearl in Baldwin, and I will see you, where will I be next? That might be all I'm doing this week. I got a lot of catching up to do in the lab, so I'll probably be hibernating this week, and you'll catch me next week here Sunday 10 p.m. with my man Mamello. Steve Ortiz got on the mic because you know you eat Jello, and yo, we'll be back here next week, man. Thanks for checking in, brother. Appreciate you as always.
Well, thanks, man. It's been a great show.
Word up, man. We'll talk to y'all next week. We are Audi 5000. Peace.
Yes. For sure, we need more people like you just spreading the word about these artists.
I appreciate
you know,
that, man.
Yes,
real.
Indeed.
We need more people like y'all rocking on the radio and letting everybody know, especially shout out to the people listening in New Zealand. That blew me away. I was like, that's what's up.
Yeah, that's what's up.
This is my first time checking out the show. I'm glad to see somebody talking about hip-hop in this format. I'm used to hearing sports talk radio, so this is a dream come true right here.
Also, real quickly, I would add that this is the first talk show that's, you know, that prescribes to our condition. I mean, I listen to talk radio all the time. First time I've ever heard an eloquent talk show host like you and your co-host who actually has the skill of dictation.
Manny Faces.
You sick for this one. This one.
I'm on my New York. Got the world following the New York script. Hustle with Timbs and hoodies on my New York flip. Rubber band sack money with my New York click. Yeah, I'm on my New York. I rep the Giants, Jets, New York Knicks. Tell I made clothing with my New York stitch. My chick banging, don't you see my New York? Yeah, I'm on my New York.